William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, many years ago said, "The day will come when they will preach heaven without preaching hell." And I submit to you this morning that that day has come. In 1930, a man by the name of Jim Dawson, he produced a magazine for preachers called Homiletics Review. Here's what he said: "The old idea about hell has faded out. Pastors of refined and cultured churches refuse to revive the doctrine." I want you to know this morning that you have neither a cultured or refined pastor. And this morning, I'm going to preach on the subject, there is a hell. It might not be your favorite topic, but two of the most common subjects that Jesus preached about when he was on this earth was hell and giving. In fact, 22 times in 3 years, Jesus preached on hell. And I figure if it's good enough for Jesus to preach on it, that every once in a while, it's good enough for me to preach on it. You might say this morning, "Well, I don't believe that a loving God," as Angie just sang about, "I don't believe a loving God would send people to hell. God is love." The Bible says that 120 times, those words exactly. God is love. But 720 times in the Bible says God is holy. God's love is a holy love. His grace is a holy grace. His mercy is a holy mercy. And his wrath is a holy wrath. And what his holiness cannot endure, his love cannot embrace. And I want to remind you this morning that the holiness of God cannot embrace sin. That's why Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. That's why God the Father turned his back on his only begotten Son as he hung on the cross when he took all the sin upon us. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and a holy God says that holiness and justice must be satisfied. And I know you might be here this morning and say, "Well, I just don't believe in hell. I can't see it." And I would just remind you, you can't see electricity either, but if you go stick a fork in a socket, you're going to get shocked. And if you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell. I mean, it's just that simple. Now, I want to give you 5 reasons why I believe there is a hell. Number one, the most reliable book that was ever written says there is a hell. The Bible, the Word of God, is the most reliable book ever written. There are no errors, there are no mistakes, there are no faults. The Bible is filled with scriptures like we just read from Psalm chapter 9, "The wicked shall be turned into hell." In fact, 300 times in the New Testament, the Bible reminds us that there is a hell, and that's where the wicked is going. And you say, "Well, preacher, I'm not wicked. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a thief. I haven't done any of those terrible crimes." And I'm glad you haven't. But did you know that in the Bible, unbelief is the height of wickedness in the mind of God? Say, "Where'd you get that idea?" I get it from the Bible. I mean, I read in the Bible about a murderer who repented and was born again and was saved and this morning is in heaven. I read about a woman at a well who had had 5 husbands, was living with a man that wasn't her husband's, but repented and received Christ and is in heaven this morning. I read about a man that hung on a cross and said, I'm receiving my just reward. I deserve to be here. But he believed on Jesus and asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. And he's in heaven this morning. And then I read about those who won't go to heaven. "He that believeth not is condemned already. The fearful and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone." The lake of fire and brimstone is that place called hell. There is a hell because the Bible tells me that there is. Thank you, Brother Dennis. See, I'm preaching on hell. My throat's dry already. So, the most reliable book in the world tells us that there's a hell. Number two, the most reliable person in the world says there's a hell. The most reliable person that ever lived was Jesus. He was an impeccable character. His enemy says, I find no fault in him. The Roman says, he has done nothing amiss. And this most reliable person told a story one time in Luke chapter 16 about a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. And he said, they both died. And the Lazarus went to heaven, and the rich man went to hell. And out of hell, that rich man cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, remember, Mr. Rich Man, in life you have the good things, Lazarus had the bad, and between you there is a great gulf that no man can pass. And then the rich man said, well, would you send them to my brothers? I have five brothers. Would you send Lazarus to my brothers to warn them not to come to this terrible, terrible place? You see, when he was on earth, he thought that he didn't need mercy. But he begged for it when he got to hell. He, on earth, he had no concern for his brothers. But when he got to hell, he begged that somebody would go back from the dead and warn them about hell. There is a hell. There's a hell because the most reliable book in the world says there is. There is a hell because the most reliable person in the world says there is. There is a hell, number three, because human justice demands it. Human justice points to a hell. We have laws. We have a human justice system. You break the law, you pay for it. The payment for breaking the law in many cases is being separated from those who keep it. That's why we have prisons, to separate those who break the laws from those who keep the laws. Now, I believe that this crowd this morning is a loving crowd. I believe in these pews sit some of the most loving people in all the world. How many of you this morning, if we could vote, would vote to say, I want to open all the prison doors everywhere. I want to let all the murderers out. I want to let all the thieves out. I want to let all the rapists out. How many of you would vote to do that? Go ahead, raise your hand. Nobody. And neither would I. Because you see, I have a sense of justice just like you do. And our sense of justice says that those who break the laws need to pay for those laws, and that payment is to be separated from those who keep the laws. In the same way, there is a heaven and there is a hell. Those that break God's laws and are never forgiven for those laws are separated from those who, by the way, have broke them, but whose penalty has been paid by another. And so I believe that there is a hell because the justice that God has put inside of me points to a place of punishment for those who break the laws. Number four, my conscience demands a hell. When I was a kid and I did something wrong, especially as I got older, my conscience condemned me. I was caught before I was caught. I mean, I knew I'd done wrong before my dad told me so or my mom told me so. God gives us each a conscience, and that conscience condemns us for the evil that we do. It cries out for wrongs to be righted. We read in a newspaper about somebody being killed. In fact, we read this week about a lady over in Burton that was shot at a gas station. And the police are saying there's a gang down in Detroit that has set their initiation for them to come up here and shoot ladies at pumping gas. I mean, and I'll tell you what, my sense of justice, the conscience that I have, want those people to be caught. I want them to be caught before they pull the trigger. I mean, I wish we could arrest them and throw them in jail if we found them up here with a gun and they belong to that gang. But my conscience and your conscience, my sense of justice and your sense of justice demands that those that break the law pay for breaking the law, that the crimes that they commit be paid for. And then number five, I believe there is a hell because I believe that science teaches that there's a hell. Science tells us that the center of the earth is a molten inferno. It's a lake burning. You can prove that point by just going and seeing a volcano erupt. What comes out of a volcano? Lava. That's right. Molten rock. I mean, it's burning hot. So the center of the earth is a lake of fire. That's what the Bible calls hell, a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. What causes the earth, the center of the earth, to burn so hot? Sulfur. You want to know what brimstone is? Sulfur. Sulfur burns at a high temperature and yet produces no light. No light. That's why the Bible talks about hell as being that place of fire, but at the same thing, at the same time, talks about it as being a place of darkness. When the Bible speaks of hell, it talks about going down. In the book of Genesis, in the book of Exodus, when they revolted against Moses, those men, Korah and Dothan and Abram. And as God was showing the people that he was going to punish sin, and as God was showing the people that Moses was the appointed leader, Moses turned to the crowd as these three men revolted against him and said, "If these men die a natural death, God has not spoken by me. But if the ground splits open and they go alive down into the pit, then you'll know that God has spoken by me." And you that know the story know that's exactly what happens. The earth opened up. And these men that rebelled against God and rebelled against God's leader was swallowed by the earth, and they went down into the pit. And so this morning, there is a hell. Listen. Don't you believe these people that teach there is no hell? Don't you believe the TV preachers that don't talk about it? Don't you believe that somebody that says, well, hell's just a figment of somebody's imagination? No, hell is a real place, just as real as heaven. It was prepared by God for Satan. And those that reject Christ, those that will not believe on Jesus Christ, will spend eternity apart from God in that place called hell. You can disbelieve it if you want to. You can ignore it if you want to. You can believe that a loving God would not send people there. But believing that flies in the face of this book. It flies in the face of what Jesus said. It flies in the face of the sense of justice and the conscience he gave us. It even flies in the face of science. There is a hell. And this Bible teaches over and over and over and over that the God of love is also a God of justice, a holy God that will mete out his punishment to those that reject him. Over and over and over again, it teaches. Now, since there is a hell, there's three things that every single one of us ought to do. Three things that ought to happen. Number one, every preacher at every church ought to preach about hell. I wonder how many churches in the past 3 years have heard 22 sermons on hell. I wonder how many churches in the past 3 years have heard one sermon on hell. We live in that time that William Booth talked about. We preach heaven and the glories of the place, and well, we should. Street of gold, no night, no pain, no tears, no goodbyes, no sorrows. And heaven is a wonderful place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And heaven is a wonderful place. And I love to preach about heaven. But there's also a hell. And the Bible actually tells us more about hell than it does about heaven. It's a place of fire, a bottomless pit. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place of darkness, a place where the worm dieth not, a place where Satan and all his angels lived. You say, preacher, it's a crude concept. You're right. And those churches that are refined and cultured that don't talk about hell will find many of the folks that attend those churches will end up there because they've never been warned. So Every preacher at every church ought to preach about hell. We live in a time that Paul warned about in his letters. He said people have itching ears. People have ears that they want to be tickled. They'll want preachers to say, hey, you're okay. You're good. God loves you. And I'll tell you, you're good people. But like we talked about in Sunday school, every single one of you, including this preacher, is a sinner. Is a sinner. You may be as good as a person can be, but there's still sin in your life, and that sin makes you a sinner. And a holy God says that sin is going to be paid for. Since there is a hell, it ought to be preached about in every church in the land. Since there is a hell, every Christian ought to be a soul winner. Since we believe that there is a hell, and we believe that unbelievers go there, we need to be busy telling people how to avoid hell and how to get to heaven. We need to be busy telling people that they're sinners and that God loves sinners. We need to be busy telling people that Jesus loved them so much that he went to the cross and he paid for their sin on Calvary. You know, Paul got to go to heaven one time, and he said, I read about it last night again, he said when he came back, he says, it's not lawful for me to talk about it. I wish that we could go to hell for just 5 seconds. I wish every single one of us could just dip ourselves in hell and stay there for just 5 seconds. I wouldn't want to stay any longer, but I wish we could all go for 5 seconds. I wish we could see the reality of what hell is. I wish we could know beyond a shadow of a doubt, but because we've been there, that it does exist and what the Bible says about it is true. I think if we could go to hell, and D.L. Moody said this one time, he said, if I could send people to hell for 5 minutes or 5 seconds, they'd all come back and be missionaries. They give up what they're doing, and their sole purpose in life would be to tell people about Jesus and keep them out of that place called hell. I wish we could all go. I wish we could experience for 5 seconds. I wish we could feel the pain. I wish we could feel the separation from God. I wish we could feel the loneliness that's in hell. And I tell you what, if we could get in our heart and in our mind that there is a hell, and those that don't believe in Jesus Christ will spend an eternity there, we would go to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, and we would tell them about Jesus Christ, the one who can save. And we would tell them about the old story that will keep them out of that place called hell. And we would go to extremes to make sure that our moms and our dads and our brothers and our sisters and our grandchildren and our aunts and our uncles, well, none of them would enter that place called hell. We'd be like that rich man that went to hell and pleaded with Abraham and said, Abraham, 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 I have 5 brothers at home. They're headed for the same place that I'm in. Would you send Lazarus back to my 5 brothers so they do not come to this place? And Abraham said, they have the prophets. They have the scriptures. And that's what we have today. We have the Word of God. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And since there is a hell, every single one of us that name the name of Christ, every single one of us that know Jesus as our Savior, ought to be busy telling those that we love about Jesus so they can avoid hell. And then number 3, since there is a hell, every person ought to trust Christ today. Today. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, since there is a hell, you ought to do it today. Why would you risk going to that place called hell? I mean, you may say, preacher, I just can't hardly believe what you're saying. I just can't believe there's a place called hell. Would you believe it? And so maybe I can't convince you 100%, but could I convince you 50%? Would you grant that maybe I could be half right, and there's a place called hell? I said, I don't know. Well, could you give me the benefit of the doubt and say, well, maybe there's a 25% chance you're right? Well, I don't know. Could you grant me then and just give me a 5% chance that I might be right? 95% chance that the Bible's wrong and that Jesus was wrong and my conscience is wrong, but only a 5% chance that all those are right? Well, I don't know, preacher, that's a lot to ask. How about 1%? 99% chance that the Bible's wrong and Jesus is wrong and our conscience is wrong and our sense of justice is wrong. 99% chance that all those things are wrong and only a 1% chance that we're right. Why would you take a 1% chance? Why would you gamble your eternity, your forever, even if there's only a 1% chance of what I'm talking about this morning is true? I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I would not bet 1% to 99 that there's not a hell. If I only thought there was a 1% chance that there was a hell, I'd get saved before I left this place this morning. Amen. It's not worth it. It's not worth to take the chance. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're a sinner. He loved you enough that he sent his only begotten Son to die in your place on Calvary. And if you'll come this morning and ask him, he'll save you. Save you from the penalty of your sin. Save you from that place called hell. Would you do that this morning? Just give me a 1%. I'm not asking you to believe me 100%. Just 1%. 1%. Why would you risk it? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Bible that it warns us about this place called hell. And I pray, if there's just one person here this morning, I pray, Father, they give us the 1% chance. If there's only a 1% chance that we're right, and Father, I know the Bible's true. I know Jesus told the truth. But help, Father, those that are here today that maybe don't believe that, to just give us a 1% chance. And Father, help them to see that taking a 1% chance that there is a hell is a terrible, terrible gamble. And what they need to do this morning is to come and ask Jesus Christ to be their Savior. Man, woman, teenager, maybe the first time they're here, maybe the 100th time they're here, it doesn't matter. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to them. They would see the penalty of sin, and this morning they would come to the one who could forgive it. I pray for the Christians that are here. I pray that we would rejoice that we're saved from not only our sin, but from the punishment of that sin. And we would thank our Savior anew and again that he died for us to keep us out of hell. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.